If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open to Romans chapter 16. Romans, the 16th chapter. We come to the last chapter of the book of Romans. We have spent almost 2 years looking at this wonderful book. And we come to the last few verses where Paul thanks some people who had been influential in his ministry. And then he mentions some other people by name and he gives them greetings. Now, when you read through the Bible and you come to a chapter like Romans 16, where 40 individuals are listed by name, you might have a tendency to skip right over them. I mean, of what business is it of mine to remember the names that Paul uses in Romans 16? How does this apply to me today in the problems that I'm going through? And I don't blame you for doing that. However, if you gloss over Romans 16 and don't pay attention to the people Paul mentions, you're going to miss some wonderful jewels, some great diamonds of truth. Because the individuals in Romans 16 each tell a story. And we're going to go as slow as necessary. We're going to be as thoughtful as needed as we look at each of these persons and learn some things from them. Josh McDowell has recently written a book entitled The Disconnected Generation. It's about young people who don't feel connected with society or the people around them. And in this book, he says, the postmodern student is crying out for three things. First, love and care. Young people today just want to know that somebody loves them and somebody cares for them. Second, they cry for truth. Truth to base one's life on. And then third, a model to follow. Josh McDowell says young people want somebody to model their lives after. They want to know of someone who's gone through what they've gone through, who's faced what they've faced, and they can say, wow, they've done it. And they want to follow that model. Well, young people, Romans 16 is filled with models for Christian living. And this morning we're going to look at the first. It's a she. Her name is Phoebe. Some spell her name P-H-O-E-B-E. Some P-H-E-B-E. But she is a wonderful example of how God can take just an average person and do some astonishing things through her. Let's stand together as we begin reading Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Cenchrea is a small community just outside of Corinth. I commend her that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For she, that is Phoebe, hath been a succorer of many. We don't use that word today, but in the NIV, it's the word helper. She's been a helper of many and of myself also. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as we begin our journey through Romans 16, I want to put our attention on Phoebe and show you a model for Christian service. And there are three things about this lady that can be an encouragement for all of us. Three things about her life that I think each of us can model. If you want to be like Phoebe, you've got to be a risk taker. Because Phoebe took risks. Now bear with me. Because I recognize in the providence of God, I recognize that those of us who understand that God is sovereign, there is no such thing as risk. He ordains all things. However, from a human perspective, the way you and I look at life, there is risk. Phoebe saw risk and she took it. To be Phoebe, you must be a risk taker. You say, what do you mean? Look at our verses. Verse 1 says, I commend unto you Phoebe. Verse 2 says, that ye receive her. Most scholars agree that Phoebe was the woman who was sent to Rome with the letter we call Romans that you and I have been studying. You know the background. The Apostle Paul had never been to Rome. Now, he knew of their faith. He knew them by reputation, but he had never visited the Christians at the city of Rome. The year is 57 AD, about 27 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul is in Corinth, and he sits down and he writes a letter to the Christians at Rome. But back in Paul's day, there was no UPS, no FedEx, no email, no phone. You couldn't get information quickly to other people. If you wrote a letter, you had to hand carry it. Therefore, couriers or messengers were very important people in Paul's day. Phoebe was the messenger from the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. And she carried this letter that Paul wrote to the church, to the city of Rome, to deliver it to the Christians there. This is why Paul says, I commend unto you, Phoebe. Receive her. She had this letter on her possession. Now, think about the journey Phoebe undertook. Again, in Phoebe's day, you didn't get on a plane, you didn't take a train, you didn't go by car. You walked. There were a few rich people who might have used chariots, or you'd take an old rickety boat. That's what we'd call it today. Not a ship, a boat made by hand, composed of wood, and you would sail with open sails on the Mediterranean Sea. Phoebe lived near Corinth in Greece here. She would have had to have gone to the dock to get on her boat and make her way south toward Crete. Now, the Mediterranean was a very rough sea. In fact, you remember when Paul was imprisoned in Jerusalem, arrested, and shipped to Rome, he was shipwrecked in the Mediterranean on an island because of a storm. It was a treacherous journey. Now, we don't know if Phoebe was married or single, widowed, old, or young. There's not much said about Phoebe. But it seems as if she had no traveling companion. Because if she had, Paul would have said, receive Phoebe and the other person. It seems that she took the journey by herself, south toward Crete, then west, making her way around the southern tip or the boot that we call Italy, then north to Rome. Can you imagine that? What a journey. What a risk she took. This lady got on a boat, and for several days, yes, even possibly a couple of weeks, she set sail for Rome. The skeptic Renan said of Phoebe, she carried beneath the folds of her robe the whole future of Christian theology. God did not call his people to a life of comfort. He calls his people to step out into the sea of adventure and do those things that others might find difficult to accept. Some of you may be here this morning and you are facing a decision. You have two ways that you can go. You can take the route that is adventurous and, yes, full of risk. Or you can take the safe and comfortable route. Now, obviously, when we make a decision, we make sure that we never do anything that is contrary to the revealed will of God. But there are some decisions that both conform to God's revealed word, and we've got to make a choice. To be Phoebe, you take risks. You do the uncomfortable. You do that which you're not sure about the end result. Phoebe did. And you're reading Romans this morning because she took that risk. The world does not change by people who like to remain comfortable. The world changes through Phoebes who do things that are extraordinary and who take risks, not knowing the end result. I shared Wednesday night that a few weeks ago I was facing a big decision. I could go either way. I could choose to remain comfortable and not do what I felt in my heart was the right thing to do. Or I could take the step of doing that which was right, which I believe the Lord impressed me to do. But in my mind, all kinds of thoughts came. What will people think? How will this look? It had nothing to do as far as our church, but it does affect our state. What will this look like? Nobody's ever done this before. Well, there's risk to it. And so I'm battling between the decision that I should make. And I'm preaching in Georgia, and there's a man about five or six rows back, seated. And as is my custom here on Sundays, I go out and I visit with folks, find out how their week has been and so on. I visit with this man, ask him if he was a member of the church. And he says, no. He said, but I attend periodically. And he says, I'm a Christian man. I know Christ. I said, well, what do you do? He says, well, I write poetry. I said, oh, you do? He said, yes, I write poetry and I sell my poetry books to people who are inspired through them. And he said, God has told me that you're to buy one of my poetry books. That's what I did. I thought he was joking. I laughed. And he was serious. Well, thankfully, I thought to myself, I left my billfold in my briefcase, didn't have it. So I said, sir, I said, I don't have my billfold with me. If you come tonight or another night, I'll look at your poetry book and buy one, you know, if I feel impressed to do so. And he said, well, he said, I can't come back this evening or the rest of this week, but I do, again, say to you, I feel impressed that God has spoken to me that you're to buy one of my poetry books. Well, I thought the guy was some kind of quack. And so I said, well, sir, thank you, but I just can't buy one this morning. Asked the pastor about it. He said, no, he's a nice guy. He's quiet, doesn't say much, but he comes and he attends periodically. I said, well, do you know him? He said, no, not really. And so he stayed during the service. He listened. Didn't speak to me after the service left. Didn't see him the rest of the week. Thursday morning, 4 a.m., I have my suitcases in the lobby of the hotel. I'm waiting for a shuttle. Everyone is asleep. The only one awake is the hotel desk clerk who's back making coffee in the kitchen. The shuttle's running a little bit late, and then I see an old station wagon pull underneath the overhang, and I think, that's the shuttle. And this man who writes poetry gets out of his car. He says, I couldn't sleep, but God woke me up and came and told me to remind you that you're to buy one of my poetry books. I was stunned. I knew nobody knew where I was staying. I knew nobody knew when I was going to get up to go catch the shuttle. I knew that. I called the pastor later and asked him. He said, no, he didn't tell anybody. This man stood before me and said, he said, now I don't charge a set price. You just give me what you think it's worth. Well, after that, I gave him whatever was in my pocket. And I handed it to him. He said, now before I give it to you, he said, I want to read you a poem. And he opened to page 30 of this book that he had hand-bound. And frankly, it was pretty good. Listen to what it said. Not read the whole thing to you, just a portion. Now what matters is that you recognize God's voice that always speaks the truth to you when you have a choice. So stop one moment, if you will, and let His voice speak out. Let it grow in power till there is no doubt. Well, that was a confirmation to me that I was to step out and take some risk. You say, but Pastor, that kind of thinking scares me. Listen to what John Blanchard said. The fact that a Christian is uncertain does not mean he is insecure. If you're uncertain of the future, that's all right. It doesn't mean that you're not secure in it. Be Phoebe. Be a risk taker. Second, to be Phoebe, you must be a disciple maker. Look at verse 2. Paul says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, that you receive her as become the saints, for she has assisted us. You assist her, for she has been a succorer of many. And of myself also. This word succorer in the King James Version is translated helper or provider in other translations. But it's a fascinating word. In the original Greek, this word was the official title for a citizen in Athens who had the responsibility of seeing to the welfare of resident aliens who were without civil rights. The Apostle Paul uses this exact word to describe Phoebe. Now, think about this just for a moment. Most of us see the Apostle Paul as an intellectual, a theologian. In fact, we have learned of the sovereignty of God and justification by faith and what it means to be righteous because the goodness of Christ has been imputed to us. We have learned the great doctrines of the faith through the pen of the Apostle Paul. We view Paul as if he's in an ivory tower way up there, knows more than any of us, and we learn from him. But listen to what Paul says. Phoebe has been my helper. Phoebe discipled Paul. Isn't that a trip? Have you ever considered the fact that discipleship is nothing more than just investing your life in other people? Phoebe was a disciple maker. She was not only a risk taker, somehow, some way, in Corinth, she got to know Paul. This is why Paul asked her to carry the letter. She took the risk and went. But Paul had great confidence in her because she discipled him. Unbelievable. Someone handed me this week a little description of what it means to be a disciple maker. And it says this. Making disciples is much like assuming the responsibility of being a parent. Until your children learn to feed themselves, you make sure they're fed. You teach them how to feed themselves as soon as possible. If they get into trouble, you help them, even if it's inconvenient, because they're your top priority. You train them to do what they need to do. You teach them what you know. You help protect them from danger, mostly. You just spend time with them because they learn best by example. Phoebe discipled Paul. What a great model. Young people, there's nothing greater that could be said of a Christian than that he or she has invested their lives into people around them, have made disciples of people they know. Phoebe was a risk taker, a disciple maker. But I close by showing you this. According to our text, Phoebe was a custom shaker. Look there if you will. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you receive her, that you assist her in whatever business she needs, because she's provided for many and myself also. Do you see the word servant there? Do this because she's a servant of the church at Cenchrea. The word servant there is the Greek word diakonia, from which we get our word deacon. In a male-dominated world, in a church made of many men, Phoebe broke through cultural barriers and served the people of God. The phrase, "you can't do that," meant nothing to Phoebe. She served God because she had a higher calling than that offered by the world. When Charles Spurgeon was 19 years old, he was called to pastor the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Now, this was a great church. It was a huge church in London, England. Spurgeon was a farm boy. He grew up on the farm. He had what we would call today a southern accent. You know, there are many people who are prejudiced against southerners. If you speak like a southerner, they think you're uneducated, particularly people from the north. That's a prejudice. They had the same kind of prejudice in Spurgeon's day. Spurgeon had an accent that made him sound uneducated. He didn't dress like the urban community of London. 19 years old, the church that called him to be their pastor had had Dr. John Gill, the greatest intellectual Baptist have ever produced, as their pastor for nearly 50 years. Dr. Benjamin Keach had pastored the church prior to Dr. Gill. He was the great hymn writer. We even, to this day, still sing some of Benjamin Keach's hymns. Here comes Spurgeon to London. Kind of a plump boy. The silly accent. Poorly dressed. And he committed a fashion faux pas his first Sunday in London. He had a polka dot hanky. And back in those days, you just didn't do that. And he comes to preach at the church. Now, custom says you don't call that young man to be your pastor. Custom says we've never done it like that before. Custom says we've always had a doctor. Custom says this is just a poor farm boy. Custom says this isn't the way it ought to be done. Both Spurgeon and that church shook the custom of the land. And Mr. Spurgeon began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through his preaching, God shook the land itself. The Queen, the Prime Minister, Parliament, and tens upon tens of thousands of people came to faith in Christ through the ministry of the Metropolitan Tabernacle and Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Be a custom shaker. This past week, Andrew was sitting beside me at one of the junior high football games, and he told me that Tuesday night at Overflow, Andrew's leading in worship there. About 1,000 kids come and worship for a couple of hours, and the Spirit of God is moving in a mighty way among the students at Oklahoma State University. Andrew said, Tuesday night, there's a young man that's going to be speaking. There's a football player, Bajima, I think, who's speaking. And a young man who's going to be speaking at Overflow. And he said, you know what? He grew up in our church. Never had any support from his family. His family never came. But he grew up in our youth group. Came to church every Sunday. Came to Sunday school. Came to church. I said, no, wait a minute. Tell me, Andrew, again, who this person is. He told me, I said, well, I know him. You're saying he's speaking at Overflow. Why is he speaking at Overflow? He said, oh, God has raised him up. He has a ministry that is expanding far and wide. I said, you're kidding me. Now, why would I say that? You know why I'd say that? Because it's customary that if you've got somebody that has particular gifts, the pastor identifies that person, and then the staff or whatever promotes this person, and you follow certain customs. Oh, I loved what Andrew told me. This young man's never come to me. This young man's never asked me for help. This young man's never said, I need a manual to do this. This young man's just gone out and he's broken every custom in the book. And God's using him. Phoebe was a woman. This is why she was called Deaconess Phoebe by many. She broke some cultural and custom barriers of the day. Oh, we can learn from that. What would happen if God took those of us who call ourselves Southern Baptist, who sometimes are so locked into custom, who are so comfortable with our set ways, who look at life through the prism of security? Oh, what would happen if God ever took us and made us into Phoebes? We were risk takers, disciple makers, custom shakers. What's important to us is not how we look or what people think. What's important to us is, what would God have us do? And we do it. That's the first person mentioned in Romans 16. Her name is Phoebe. What a delightful person. My encouragement to you as we begin our study of Romans 16 is to draw some things from each of these individuals. And maybe God has spoken to you this morning and He's gently saying, be Phoebe.